Start in Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. And keep your Bible handy if you would. And we'll go to several different places and all throughout the Bible and look at some things that might interest you, I hope. Numbers chapter 15. We'll start reading in verse 37. We'll read 37, 38, and 39. Numbers 15, verse 37. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart, your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring. Notice here that we were referring to this piece of garment that the Jewish people still wear today. And it comes from Numbers chapter 15, where God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, put fringes on their garments. Now, these are the fringes you'll see on this particular garment. And then there's a ribband of blue. Matter of fact, there's more than one. And this is what the Jewish people call a tallit. It is, the meaning is little tent. They worshipped and they worshipped God in a tent in the Old Testament. A tabernacle, if you will, in the wilderness. And so all 2 million Jews could not get under the same tent. The tabernacle in the wilderness was 18 feet by 48 feet. You can't get 2 million Jews in the same tent. So what God says is to all the males, because the male is the high priest of the home. You men, you ought to be the high priest of your home. And so if you couldn't come under the tent, the male of that home was the high priest. And this particular person would put on the tallit, meaning little tent. And then when he got ready to pray, and he couldn't get into the tabernacle in the wilderness, you would pull it up over the forehead, and now you're in the tent. And you begin to pray, Psalm 104, Bless the Lord. Woo! Oh, my soul. Hallelujah. And boy, he'd get under that tent and he'd worship God under that tent. This particular piece of fabric means a lot of different things to those Jews. It reveals the name of God. Here on the end, all four corners, this is actually a short one. Usually it's 8 feet by 8 feet by 8 feet diagonal. And they would have, and it would be a whole lot larger than this one. Now this is just a small version. But it has four corners. And on that four, all the four corners, it's what they call the fringe. There is a knot. And then there are seven wrappings. And then another knot. Then there's eight wrappings and another knot. Then there is 11 wrappings and another knot. Then there's 13 wrappings and another knot. Five knots on each of these fringes. Those five knots, there's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books of Moses, the Torah, what the Jews had, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, on those five knots in that. In between 7, 8, 11, and 13, the wrappings in between the knots, those were Hebrew numbers. Hebrew numbers, this first 7 was a Y. The next 8 was a H. The next 11 was a W. And the last 13 was an H. That's YHWH. That is the name for Almighty Jehovah God. They wore the name of God on the fringes of their garment. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, in the midst of that, Jehovah is one. Jehovah is Lord God Almighty. Yahweh. What we would pronounce... Now, if you don't know this already, I went just over a little bit of this in Sunday school, not talking about the Talit, but on a different subject. And if you wrote this down, YHWH, on a piece of paper, you could not pronounce that is the Hebrew name for God. You couldn't pronounce it. No Jew has ever pronounced it. Nobody has ever been able to pronounce the name of God. In the Hebrew, there are no vowel sounds. There's all consonants. And those are all consonants there. And so to be able to pronounce that, the Jews had to add the vowel sounds. And then that's where they come up with the word Yahweh, Jehovah. Yeshua, Jehovah God. And the Lord, Jehovah, is one. But that name that God has, nobody has ever been able to pronounce. That's going to become significant to us at the end of the message. This thing reveals the name of God. Jehovah is one. When you begin to look down, also it reveals not only the name of God, but the Word of God. You'll look again, and you'll look. There's strings here. There's nine strings here. Then all across this thing are strings and a knot. Strings and a knot. Strings and a knot. Strings and a knot. All around this thing. There are 613 strings all around this thing. Did you know in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books that's represented here, there are 613 commandments that the Jews had to keep. We only had 10. We thought that was bad. They had 613. 365 negatives. 248 positives. 365 thou shalt nots. 248 thou shalts. And every time they wore this, they'd wear that around them. And they knew every time they got up, they were wearing the Word of God. Every morning when they got up, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not, in other words, God's last name does not begin with D. And they would begin to go through all of this. And this is 613 laws, commandments, that those Jews had to keep between Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Jehovah is God. Jehovah is one. And all of the 613. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, 613 commandments, and then the Jew. Now, I don't know. I checked this out on the internet and couldn't get any real peace about what was going on that. But the Jews, to them, this is them. In the human body, this is what they recognize. There are 248 limbs in the human body. That means that... there's 30, I'll give you an example, there's 30 limbs in the foot. Six in each toe, six in each toe, 10 in each ankle, 2 in the shin, 5 in the knee, and so on and so forth, 1 in the thigh, and so on. They recognize 248 limbs. And they recognize 365 ligaments and tendons, which equals 613. When a Jew put this on, they're putting on the name of God. They're putting on the commandments of God. And they are saying 613 commandments connected with the 613 strings in this tallit, in covering my 613 elements of my body. God, God Almighty, Jehovah is one. And the commandments of God, I will cover my body in His Word. I will cover my body under the wings of Jehovah. That's a good example for us to do. You say, we don't wear these. I know. They did it outwardly. It'd be good for us to do it inwardly. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, hallelujah. Well, let me give you one little more thing. The high priest. Now, this is a little different. The high priest had a different robe that he wore when he would go in. Exodus chapter number 28 and verse 31 through 35 will tell you when the high priest would go in, he had a veil on his hem and a pomegranate. He said, what in the world does he want a pomegranate sewed into the bottom of the hem of a high priest's garment? Well, if you open up a pomegranate, it's got 613 seeds in it. Hallelujah. They were serious about serving God. And that little bell, every time he walked, that little bell would ring. And they would know that the Word of God was on the move. He'd ring. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, y'all not enjoying that too much, but I am. They began to worship in this tabernacle. I've already told you that all 2 million or how many ever there were couldn't get under the same tent. Exodus 25 says this tabernacle would be His tent. They would dwell. This is where the Shekinah glory would meet with Him. All of them couldn't get under the same tent. And they would quote Psalm 104 when they would put this around them. Psalm 104, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. Every man, like I told you a while ago, is the high priest in his home. The man would go under his tent on behalf of his family, on behalf of his children. They would go under the tent. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 22. You're there real close. Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 12. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 12 says they're going to make fringes. Here's the fringes all around this thing, even on the four corners there. The Torah, right there. The name of God, Jehovah is one there. And that's where they wore God around them. And they had those fringes there. If you would look, now let me say this. Only the man, let me clear up something real quick. Only the man was allowed to wear this. This was not a woman's garment. This was the man's garment because he's the high priest of the home. Look at verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Now, you've heard a lot of preaching on that, and they've basically taken it out of context. Verse 5, most preachers take out of context. A woman was not allowed to wear this. Matter of fact, if you'll check some information out, I get the Jerusalem Post on the internet and even on my phone. And just here recently, there were 3 women arrested in Jerusalem. They went up to the wall, the Wailing Wall there, where the old temple used to sit, and they had 3 women had this on, and they had their head covered, and they were up against the wall praying. And those women were arrested and thrown in jail for wearing that pertaineth unto a man. Well, that went over real good, didn't it? Now, some of you are thinking, now, I said it this morning, let me clarify. I think a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. All right? But don't take a verse out of context to prove something that somebody told you. If you're going to do it, go to the New Testament where it says modesty and define that. And as long as you're modest, hallelujah. But don't take a verse out of context. Well, anyway, that wasn't a part of this message. But anyway, You just look like you needed it. Every man is a high priest in his home. David wore this prayer shawl to fight Goliath. Daniel wore this prayer shawl in the lion's den. Jesus wore this prayer shawl from the age of 13. The Bible says when he was fully 12. Fully 12 is 13. And from the age of 13, he wore this. Hey, you ever wondered why? In Matthew 6 and verse 6, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your... Say it again. You know why they did that? They covered their head so they could rule out and shun out the world. They could get up under this thing and pray to an almighty God, and they could know that they were under the shadows of His wings. Yes, it was symbolism. Yes, I understand that, but that's all they had in the Old Testament. That's all they had. Preacher, you saying we're to do this? No, my friend, because in the New Testament, the tent of the tabernacle has moved to your heart. And any time you get ready, you don't have to have one of these. You can come and bow your unworthy head and say, God, be merciful. And you can enter into His presence at any time. But those Jews in Matthew 6, 6, He said, enter into thy prayer, their closet, when you go in there, and pray in secret. In secret. You could pray to God and confess your sins, and it wouldn't be in the paper by in the morning. It's just between you and Him. Hallelujah. Enter into your prayer closet. That's what he said when he talking about that. Now, these fringes were a symbol of authority. If you were a prophet, if you were a priest, or if you were a king, yours looked a little different. If you had money, yours would look a little different. If you wasn't that rich or you didn't have that much money, yours would look a little different. This was your identity. They would be all different colors. And the colors or the way they would design this particular thing, it all meant Jehovah's God and Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It all meant that. But the way they would do it would identify their family name. And if you were worked for the government or if you were a king, you had something a little different. When Jesus walked up on the woman at the well in John 4, she said this. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How'd you know that? Yes, he told her a bunch of stuff that nobody knew but her. I understand that. But he saw and he says, I perceive. He's wearing that and other things hanging down. It told a lot about him. It told about his family. That was his identity. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. This was a signature card. You could take this, and if you were a businessman or a wealthy man, you could take this right here and give it to one of your servants. And you could take your fringe and press it up against a piece of clay and make an indention. And he could take that piece of clay down to Walmart and buy whatever you wanted. And he would go up, show him that piece of clay. He said, Oh, you're from the Ballinger family. Okay, we'll charge it to his account. The Ballinger family, ours would look similar like this. Well, I wish we had that today. Boy, I'd be thumbing that. Oh, Daddy bought that. That wasn't me. That's Jamie's. That ain't mine. I didn't send nobody down there. Hallelujah. See that? They were a little more honest than we are. Hallelujah. They'd press that into that clay. They'd send them down. That was their identity. That was their identity. They could buy upon that. Do you remember in 2 Kings chapter number 2? In 2 Kings chapter number 2, there were two people. Their names were very similar. One of them's name was Elijah. The other one's name was Elisha. And he was the one that was coming up behind Elijah. And Elisha as for a double portion. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And Elijah, they come up to the Jordan. Y'all with me? The Bible says he took his mantle. He took his purse, y'all. Smote the water. Why? He smote the water with Jehovah is one. And he smote Jehovah with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the waters parted. And Elisha goes, really? Elisha saw, now I'm paraphrasing, y'all help me, y'all pray for me. You just need to read it when you get home, but it's all in there pretty much. Except for the parts I add. Elisha saw a chariot come down, y'all with me? Saw a chariot come down and pick up Elijah. Remember, Elisha prayed for a double portion. Elijah, you'll have to read it, 2 Kings chapter 2. When that chariot took off, Elijah's mantle, his prayer shawl, fell out of the sky. Elisha has two prayer shawls now. A double portion. And he takes both of those prayer shawls, his and Elijah's. And he walks over to the Jordan. And them guys are looking going, I wonder if this is a man of God like the one that just left. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll show you. He parted that thing, they parted the water, and they started following him. Took his mantle and put her down there and parted the water. Now, don't try that today. It ain't going to work. We got the Word of God. You have to understand what I'm telling you today. Elijah and Elisha didn't have the written Word of God. They had it around their necks. This is how they read the Word of God. They counted strings. And they knew what each one of them meant. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. But we have the Word of God. You ought to cherish this Bible like they did this. Amen. Elijah prayed for a double portion. Y'all remember, I got to hurry, but y'all remember when David, Saul, crawled into a cave and went to sleep. 1 Samuel 24. Saul crawled into a cave, and it says he covered himself. He covered himself with his prayer shawl. David sneaks in that cave. Y'all with me? Y'all remember the story? And wants to kill Saul. God says, huh? No, no, you can't do that. And David's sort of like, would you just look the other way for a minute? Now, that's not in there, but it's in between the lines. So David cuts off his identity, the fringe. He's a king. Saul's a king. Remember, his fringe looks different than anybody else's. So David cuts off his fringe. He goes out of the cave. Saul wakes up and goes out. David's like, I could have killed you today if I wanted to. Saul's like, no, you couldn't. I had guards all around me. He said, oh, yes, I could. Saul's like, he could have killed me. Cut his fringe off. Amen. That's what that's talking about. Well, look at Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91. This is God's 911 number. You ever needed to call 911? Sometimes spiritually you have to call 911. Well, here's your 911. Psalm 91, verse 1. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty here in just a second. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His what? Shalt thou trust. Under His what? Wings. Do you know what the Jewish people call these four corners? They call them the wings of the tallit. The wings of the tent. Do you know what? When they got ready to pray and call out on God, He'll shelter me, or hide under the shadow of His wings. I've got protection under here. Hallelujah. That's what Psalm 91 in verse 1 and 2 and following is referring to. Psalm 17 in verse 8 talks about His wings. I got to hurry and tell you this. Y'all remember Ruth. Ruth and Boaz. The story of Ruth and Boaz. Y'all remember that? Boaz is out there on his John Deere tractor. He's out there riding. This old girl comes to town, a new girl. He's never seen her before. Now, that ain't in the Bible either, but it's pretty close. And he says, "Hey, who is that girl right there?" He says, "Well, that's a Moabitess girl." He says, "Well, I tell you what. Anything she wants out of here, don't. She don't have to stay in the corners. Just tell her she can pick anywhere she wants to. She's got favor. Put handfuls on purpose in her way." Do y'all remember when Boaz went and laid down? And the Bible says that Ruth asked to come up under his skirt. When a man laid down, just like Saul, he'd covered himself with his prayer shawl. And she knew if she could get under the wings of that prayer shawl, she'd have the protection of Boaz. And she did. Hey, that's what you did, ladies and gentlemen. No, you don't have one of these. But when you ask God to save you, sort of like what Ruth was doing, a Gentile asking a Jew. A Gentile asking a Jew, "Can I come up under your prayer shawl? Can I get up under the wings?" That's what she's talking about. Hey, when you ask the Lord, said, "Hey, God, I need that protection. I need under your..." Like Jesus said in the book of Matthew, He said, "I would, the nation of Israel, I would have gathered you together as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings. But you would not." That's what He was talking about. Malachi chapter 4. You can find it, turn there if you want to. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. This is what it says. "But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing..." Anybody know the rest? "...and His wings." Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "There's coming a day when there's going to be a Jew that'll arise. He'll have healing in His wings." Mark chapter 5, where we were at this morning, the woman with the issue of blood, all she had was the Old Testament. And she knew that Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 was in the Bible. And when she saw Jesus... Let me give you the background real quick. Don't you think there was a bunch of Jews around? Don't you think there was a bunch of Jews that had some of these on? Why did she want to touch Jesus's? Because she knew Malachi chapter 4 was in the Bible. She said, "I can touch some of the rest of these Jews. They ain't going to do me any good." But she said, "That man right there that's wearing that one, he is that fringe. The one that's wearing that prayer shawl is the very one whose name is in that wing." And she said, "If I could just touch just the hem, I will be healed." Why did she think she's going to be healed? She said, "That fellow right there that's coming this direction, that fellow right there has got healing in his wings." And when she pressed toward the crowd, she grabbed a hold of Jehovah is God. And she, in essence, when she grabbed the hem of that prayer shawl, she was saying, and Jesus recognized it, that the man that's wearing this one is and always has been Jehovah God.
Amen.
And when she grabbed on Jehovah is one, she grabbed a hold of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. She grabbed hold of 613 commandments. She grabbed a hold of God is one.
Yeah.
There was something that left that thing and went into her body, and Jesus said, "Whoa, somebody done touched me." You have to understand, everybody was touching Him. Everybody was touching the Lord. But that one woman got a hold of His identity.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody was touching Him. But that one woman got a hold of that.
Right.
I got to hurry. Turn to John 20 real quick. I got to fast forward. John 20. John 20. John 20. We're going to go to one other verse. You hang on. John 20. Verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone and taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh Simon Peter, and other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid Him." Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down and looked in, and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the what? That was about his what? Not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. When Jesus arose from the dead, He folded His prayer shawl, the one that He wore around His head, and He placed it in the tomb. And when Peter and John, they came in, they saw that. Now you know there was the thing, the Jews, or the Romans said, you know, they were afraid they were going to steal the body. But when they come in and saw that, this is what it said. Number one, whoever folded this was Jewish.
Yeah.
Number two, whoever folded it is alive.
Yeah.
Y'all not helping me on a Sunday night. Whoever left this here and folded it just like that has got to be Jewish. Because nobody else knows how to fold one like that.
Yeah.
And whoever left it there has to be alive.
Yeah.
And number three, whoever folded it wasn't in a hurry. He wasn't running from anybody. He's not running from the Romans. He wasn't in a hurry. He just took His time, folded it just right. And number four, whoever folded this, folded it in a way that said, "I'll be back." Jewish custom. When you go eat at somebody's house, if you're in the middle of your meal and you just get up to go, or let me back up. When you get done eating your meal, you sort of just wad your napkin up and throw it down. And the host, they are, well, he's done. Sort of like what you do when you just throw your napkin on your plate, you cover up what you didn't eat because you didn't want nobody to know that there's starving people all over the world. And so you take your napkin, wad it up, and cover up the food that you didn't eat. Y'all with me? The waitress, she pretty well knows he's done by the way you fold it. But a Jewish custom, if you got up in your middle of the meal and you just need to go to the restroom, you need to wash your hands or something, you fold it in a certain way that says, don't put my food away. I'll be right back. So Jewish custom is when they went into that tomb, that thing was folded in a way that said, I'm Jewish, I'm very much alive, I ain't in no hurry, and I am coming back for this. Hallelujah. I got one more verse. Y'all got time? Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And we're done. Revelation 19. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus is coming back. And when He comes, He'll have one of these on. It says, well, I'll tell you what it says. Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew. Did I just not tell y'all that at first? He has got a name that nobody knows what it is. YHWH, Yahweh. Nobody's ever pronounced it. He's got a name that nobody's ever heard before. That no man knew, but he himself, he knows how to pronounce it. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And his armies in heaven, that's us, we're following him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. He shall smite the nations that rule with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress, the fierce is the wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16. And he hath on his vesture. And on his what? A name written. Now you see this? If I'm on a horse, I got my leg up like this, right? If I'm on a horse, where's that hitting me? Let me get over here. If I've got this on and I'm sitting on a horse, it's hitting me on the thigh. What's the rest of it? And on his thigh, a name written? That's his identity. I wished I was in a Pentecostal church tonight. They'd be swinging off of them lights right there. Y'all acting like... No, I'm not going to say that. Bunch of Episcopalians y'all acting like. He had on his thigh a name. What did I just tell you? That's what that name is. That's his identity. That's his name. Jehovah is what? He's on that white horse, and that thing's hitting about thigh. And it's called the Word of God. Yahweh, Yeshua, Jehovah. I'm telling you what, he's coming. And I'm telling you, it's the real deal too. That right there. It's what that woman touched, the hem of his garment. That means a whole lot, don't it? Have you ever touched him? You say, preacher, I don't have one then. You don't need one of these. You don't need one of these. Is it all right to have one? Sure, I love it. I think it's nice. You know what all this is? You know what all this is? It's the flag with the Star of David in the center. All the flag of Israel is a tallit, a prayer shawl, with a star in the center. You know what Israel's wanting to say? Israel says, our nation belongs to Almighty God. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that you belong to Almighty God? Say, preacher, I can't. Can you let me touch it? You can touch it all you want to. It's not going to do any good. But if you ever get a hold of this, that's all that is symbolically. This is the real deal. You get a hold of this, and you can touch Him. You say, preacher, He ain't in here. Oh, yes, He is. I don't know about you, but He come in here with me in my tent. You say, preacher, you don't wear one of them all the time. Uh-uh. I got one right in here. I can bow my head, get my tent anytime I get ready. I can talk to Him. I can touch Him because He's real. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray that You can take that. I pray it's been informative, but Lord, not only that, more so, God, it would take it to heart.